This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com. Boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. Also by BlackStarLabs.com. You can save 10% on every order when you use the code FIT10 in the coupon section at checkout. And also by RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. High octane corrective exercise and performance enhancement at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 111, and I'm Kevin Larrabee. The person you heard laughing was Lee Pio of AvidityFitness.net. What's up, Lee?
What's up, Kevin? Not doing it this week.
You're like Michael Scott trying to hold in a laugh, but that's all right. And we also have Tony Gentlecore of GentlecoreTraining.com and the Boston Herald Step Up blog.
What's up, guys?
What's up, Tony?
Not much. I gotta change the title of that blog. I don't like that step up title.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the step up, so maybe Tony Gentlecore's front squatting blog.
No, I'm gonna bring back the G spot, man.
Oh yes. The infamous G spot.
For those who don't know, my first blog that I have was called the G spot, and the G was in parentheses because my last name is Gentlecore. I'm not trying to be dirty.
Yeah. Yeah, because that had no dirty connotation to it.
No,
whatsoever.
Not at all. No. You know, so people have to find the G spot, you know, by clicking on.
Wow.
But okay. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just contemplating changing the name of the blog. Just not so much the blog, just the name of it. Like Step Up isn't really badass enough. So.
Okay. The off-topic discussion we had mentioned a fitness game developed by Electronic Arts that's going to compete against Wii Fitness, and Lee brought up a great point that I forgot earlier. Lee, actually, for people, you might want to pause, go to like 20 minutes before this piece of audio ends. That's how long the off topic was, and listen to the section about Oprah, then come back to right where you are right now. So, okay, I'm going to give you a second. All right, now Lee, we get to talk about this.
Okay, all right. So I realized that the new EA game is made by Bob Green, who is definitely above my list of hate as far as Jillian Michaels goes. So it's like they're really pissing me off, the Wii people. But Bob Green is Oprah's trainer, and here's what I don't understand. And this is what I really want, because I'm not in touch with, to some degree, I'm not in touch with, like, that average kind of, I guess, house mom who watches Oprah. Like, I don't do it. It's not my thing. I don't watch Oprah. I don't judge, but I don't watch it, really. However, like, I do not understand how you could, like, every week follow that woman and see her incredible bouts and journeys with not achieving her goals.
I thought you said belts.
It could be. Big belts. But not achieving her goals in, like, fat loss or nutrition or training, constantly following new, like, gimmicky advice. And, by the way, she gets $10,000 for every diet book she mentions. Didn't know if you knew that or not. But regardless of that, like, why do you still follow it? Like, why do you follow it? I don't understand. She obviously doesn't know what she's doing, has now, like, had a self-induced thyroid problem, which can happen and does exist. But, like, regardless, I need someone to explain it to me. Like, that is not social proof. If anything, it's social disproof. So it boggles my mind. And now the trainer that's so amazing that's not worked for her is doing this Wii thing, which is just more type A personality people punching at things in the air. And I don't know how I feel about that. But We're just so going in the wrong direction.
Well, obviously the country disagrees with you, because Wii Fit has been out of stock everywhere since it's been out. You still cannot buy it in stores on a regular basis. It's sold out everywhere. So people are at least buying it and bringing it home, not returning it. I don't know if they're opening it or using it, but they're at least giving, you know, Best Buy their $130, I think, for Wii Fit, or it's $100. And people seem to be, doing yoga all day long instead of playing Mario, which they should be doing.
The only thing that Wii Fit is good for is the massive onslaught of women who are, like, showing up on YouTube, like, wearing, like, half nothing, and their boyfriends are taping them while they're doing, like, yoga poses.
That would be good.
Have you seen those?
I have. Well, I saw the one of the Playboy bunny doing it, and then there was actual one of an actual female gamer who I think she was part of the Frag Dolls, which is like a girls gaming group. So, yes. So I think people...
Your voice kind of lowered there a little bit.
Did it?
You got a little excited.
A little Barry Manilow-like?
there's a little bit
of... Wait, whatever.
I was going to say not Manilow because that's not my style. I, you know, get more white at least, but we'll move on from that.
Okay, let's talk about some FitCast-related news. First off, for people who have been following me through this torturous 3 months, I finally have some good news that I did pass my CSCS exam, so I got that over with, and hopefully I will not have to talk about it on the show ever again, and I can answer some questions via email if you have any. Like, that's really the main reason I wanted to bring up. People have been emailing me, asking me what is going on with that. It just basically took my school 3 weeks to email my mail my transcript because of a $10 parking ticket, so they withheld my graduation. So I got my diploma and my CSCS in the same week, which is pretty cool. Yay for me.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Tony already congratulated me multiple times at work.
Yeah, I didn't even acknowledge it, right?
Thank you for that. And
congratulations, Kevin. It's nice that you passed your exam.
Thank you.
It's very nice.
Yes, I got some. I got a nice thick journal of strength and conditioning research for November 2008, and it's just jam packed with studies, which is really cool. If you can hear that, that's a journal of studies. So I'm gonna look into that. Probably leave it by the toilet for bathroom reading, which is always. I think guys get a lot of reading done, to be honest. Or maybe I might bring it into the hot tub tonight. Too much of my personal information. Another big thing that we have going on, and something that we're going to be talking about a lot on the show in the future, is we do have the FitCast forum. It's up. It's live. It's at forums.thefitcast.com. That's forums with an S, .thefitcast.com. Obviously, we haven't announced it on the show. It's the first time, and we've already have 100 members on the forum, and we got some pretty good, great discussions. One of them, which is going to be the topic of our roundtable later today, about music that we have for our when we go lift and go train. So definitely check it out. Sign up. We have John Fast is answering a ton of injury questions on there. He's getting in there as much as he can. He's a pretty busy man right now. He just finished up his final classes, and he will be in there a little bit. Also, of course, we have Tony, Brian St. Pierre, who's also at Chris Performance, who's getting his sports nutrition certification soon. And he's someone that I think Tony and I can both vouch for pretty highly. Mm-hmm. And also, Lee Peel will be bouncing in from time to time. And hopefully I think we'll have Jen Heath in there as well. So it should be, I mean, we literally just launched this like a week and a half ago. So people can definitely keep a lookout for it and keep poking in, ask questions. All of us will be poking in there from time to time, answering questions. And there's like an official's guest request thread, which I think is going to be good because I get emails all the time for people who want guests, but you know, like I'll say, oh yeah, like I'll email that guest, but then a couple months goes by and because we already have a couple guests in the can usually, or just set up for the next couple weeks. So that's going to be a great place to do all that stuff. And I just think everyone should check it out. Midweek shows started this past week. I did one with actually Brian St. Pierre. So I just posted that on the main site, but since I think only 500 people downloaded it, we're going to put it on iTunes. That seems like the safest bet. And that does kind of remind me that we did have a ton of people download the podcast last week. I think we had like 6,000 people download the show last week, which huge thank you for everyone for that. And we're going to pause for a second because I lost Lee and Tony, so they'll be back in 2 seconds. So we did have a ton of people. Like in one day, I started sending the picture of my bandwidth around for this past couple weeks. And like in one of the days, we did over 100 gigabytes of downloads, which is just almost nauseating. But thankfully, we have a very nice web hosting company that handles all of our web hosting, and I did not get charged hundreds of thousands of dollars for that. But mainly, I just want to thank Lee and Tony, and too bad John's not here. John's away right now, but I kind of attest that to you guys jumping on board, so I thank you guys for coming on and talking every week, every Sunday.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
It's my hope to completely crash your server with our awesomeness.
It has been, actually. It's been going... It went down a couple times last week because of just so much traffic. In part, I think, was related to an article I had on T-Nation. So people want to check that out. It's just Muscle on a Budget Part 2. And it's ways to save money and to still continue to eat healthy, and also how to screw your local gym out of giving you a better deal because they know they're probably going to be screwing you too. So especially on those big establishments like 24 Hour Fitness and Gold's Gym, who I have a huge... Everyone just visualize me giving the middle finger to Gold's Gym in Venice for screwing me out of $60. That's for them. Yeah, check that out. And lastly, I did not tell Tony and Lee about this, but I think as we approach the holidays, it would be great to do like your holiday wish list and your, you know, what's going to be on your holiday agenda in terms of giving gifts and receiving gifts. And if we kept it fitness and nutrition centric, I thought that would be prudent, as George Bush would say, played by I forget his name from Wayne's World. But the what we have this week is the Clean Canteen stainless steel.
Dana Carvey,
thank you.
Sorry, that was bothering me. Go ahead.
It's the Clean Canteen stainless steel colored water bottles on Amazon.com. You can get a 40-ounce bottle for about $20. These things are awesome. One of our clients at Crest Performance has one, and I saw it, and his liquid stayed ice cold for the 2 hours he was there. And I was just like, I need to get one of these, A, because I like my liquid cold, and B, because you don't have to deal with those nasty xenoestrogens or any chemicals leaking coming from the plastic. So do that up. Clean Canteen stainless steel colored water bottles. Get them on Amazon for like $20 for the 40-ounce container. And I already ordered one. Hopefully I'm going to get it on Monday, and I'm going to order another one. You guys need to pick one of these up. They're very fashionable, and you know, they're about what you would pay for. They're a little bit more than what you would pay for a Nalgene bottle. And these things are practically indestructible, and you can fit ice cubes in them. It has a pretty wide mouth for liquids. And I don't, one thing I'm worried about is protein powder. If you can fit like a scoop on top of that, but I will let you know on next week's show if that's possible. And I also talked about the Trader Joe's green supplement. I don't know if you guys want me to bring that up now, but I'll just say it smells awesome, and it tastes like bland, like a bland greens product. It's really doesn't have like a strong taste, but it seems to be a decent product, and I've used it a couple times. So, you know, if you want to spend $10 instead of $40 for superfood or $30 for Greens Plus, it could be a decent alternative, and you can pick it up at the grocery store without having to pay shipping. All right, we're going to take a quick break right now. We are going to be right back around the corner with a buttload of mailbag questions because obviously we didn't have a show last week. We'll be right back. Here is the mailbag for this week. The first question comes from Jamie. He says, what are your opinions on consuming sprouts? Is it best to eat every 2 to 3 hours? I think these are two different questions. Is it best to eat every 2 to 3 hours, or is it that Eat when you're hungry. Wow, I can't read. Let me try that again. What are your opinions on consuming sprouts? Is it best to eat every 2 to 3 hours, or is the eat when you are hungry intuitive eating claims have just as big, as much legs? I don't know if this is a bad question or I'm just, you know, slow today. Could be both. So basically, guys, what do you think about eating every 2 to 3 hours, and what do you think about consuming sprouts? Lee, what do you think?
Okay. Intuitive eating, that's becoming kind of hot right now. I've seen so many references to this. I guess I have to get out the book and read it. But as far as sprouts go, they're a very hot food right now, especially for the low-carbers.
Since when did Paris Hilton join the Fitcast? Did I get crickets there, too?
Wait, what the hell? What was that reference for?
Saying hot? That's so
hot. Oh, okay. Okay, got it.
I think Lee is pissed off. I'm sorry. That's for saying Mike.
You're going to have to put, like, crickets, and when you edit this, put crickets in after that.
Okay, got it.
So, like, sprouts are awesome.
Are we talking Ezekiel bread sprout, or are we talking Brussels sprouts?
I think that they're talking about, like, bean sprouts, mm-hmm. and sprouts that you can just, like, grow magically in your kitchen in, like, 3 days. You know, those sprouts.
Okay.
You know, sprouted greens. You can buy, like, sprouted grain Ezekiel bread and all kinds of things. And it's just very hot for the non-gluten, non-food beer eaters or can't eat or whatever. It's very hot, and there's nothing wrong with them. They're perfectly healthy, and they're great. Yeah. As far as, do you have to eat every 2 or 3 hours? No, you don't have to. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. You can eat as many times in a day as you want.
That's science right there.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, you know, there's no scientific research that shows that eating a specific amount of time or intervals in a day does anything to specifically help or hinder in any certain direction. That being said, there's lots of anecdotal research, and some sort of if you have health problems or if you're a little bit more sensitive to, like, blood sugar drops, things like that, eating more often can help with the regulations of that. As far as intuitive eating, what little I know about it, it seems to be that you're supposed to kind of, if you're craving a certain nutrient, then eat that nutrient. If mm-hmm. you need to eat this, you know, eat that. I think that's kind of the basis of it. And it's kind of goes the guideline of you instinctually know what your body needs. And I definitely think that there is some sort of proof to that to some degree. But at the end of the day, it depends on what you're doing. Because if you're trying to bulk, you're not going to intuitively want to eat more. And if you're trying to diet down, you're not going to intuitively want to eat less. So how much that can apply to situations outside of maintenance, I don't know. But so I'm just going to kind of leave it at that. But definitely just kind of go with your goals and what you need to do.
Well, I think the whole, you know, the whole idea of eating every 2 to 3 hours is totally psychological, especially for the, you know, people who tend to binge out if they don't eat, and they get hungry and they just keep eating and eating and eating until, you know, their body tells them to stop. And at that point, it's a little too late, because we know satiety doesn't kick in when we would like it to. Tony, what do you think?
Number one, I fucking hate Brussels sprouts. So anyone who says eating is consuming sprouts good, don't eat them. They fucking suck. All right. Number two, I love Ezekiel bread.
Wow.
I think that is amazing. So I've actually just, because of Cass, and I think because of Lee, too.
What?
I started eating Ezekiel bread in the morning. Or Kevin.
Thank you.
Okay. But I just started about 2 weeks ago. Just for breakfast, I have 2 slices of Ezekiel bread in the morning with my eggs. And I love it. It tastes phenomenal. Just put a little natural peanut butter on it. And nice little kickstart to the day. Number three, I agree with you guys as far as the whole eating every 2 to 3 hours. No, you don't have to. Do I think it helps a lot of people? I'm not saying everyone, but do I think it helps a lot of people? Yes. I also think it's going to depend on whether or not they're dieting or not. So, you know, for someone who is dieting, for example, and let's say they need, you know, 1,800, 2,000 calories a day. I'm more inclined to spread the calories out a little bit more. So instead of eating, you know, 2 to 3 meals of, you know, if they're going for 1,800 calories, what would that be, 600 calories per? That's not going to fill them up. So I'd rather if they were to condense that into, say, you know, 3 or 4 meals, they get bigger meals and they're a little bit more satiated throughout the day. So, but yeah, I mean, anecdotally, eating every 2 to 3 hours is cool. I think it helps. I don't think a lot of people think it's, you know, a metabolism thing, and it's not. You know, they say, oh, you got to eat every 2 to 3 hours or your metabolism is going to go down the tubes. And that's totally not the case at all. There's nothing to back that up. But I think it's more so for people who are sensitive to blood sugar, like Lee said. And intuitive eating, I think it's good for a lot of people once they know their body well enough. I don't think for people trying to clean up their diet, that's a smart approach. I think that's really only good for those people who really know their body well. Say like someone who's, you know, been through the ringer as far as getting ready for shows and stuff. Like they know exactly what to eat, when to eat. They're that in sync with their bodies. I mean, I do it to a degree. I call it instinctive eating, you know. So, I mean, I try to eat every, you know, 3-4 hours. And I know on days that I don't train, I'm not going to have a bunch of carbs. Days that I do train, I can get away with a little bit more. But I mean, yeah, no one has to do anything. But I think in general, if people are eating every, you know, 2, 3, 4 hours, that they don't think will happen.
Very good. And I think I'm just going to play devil's advocate here, but the whole notion of, you know, eating what your body is craving, some people might not necessarily take that the right way, and they'd be saying, dude, my body is really craving some Rocky Road ice cream or something like that. I don't know, that's the most generic thing I could think of, but or some Oreo cookies. Like, that's usually not going to be.
You know, although I will say there are certain days where there's just days I cannot fill myself up. Like, I am just hungry the entire freaking day. And, like, I'll eat a ton of carbs. And that's rare. Like, that's maybe, you know, when I've hit it hard for a week, and I really look at it as my body's telling me, dude, you need some calories. So on days like that, I'm not scared to do it, because I know the next day, like, for instance, if I do it on a Sunday, which is a non-training day, I know tomorrow that, you know, everything is going to go right back to normal. I'm going to go to work. After work, I'm going to train hard, and then that's fine. So I mean, maybe Lee can elaborate on it a little bit as well. But I know that occasionally there are days where it's like my body, like, I just view it as my body is telling me, like, Tony, listen, you need some calories. So days like that, I don't go overboard. I don't go out and order 2 pizzas and, you know, go to Stone Cold Creamery and order an ice cream. And I mean, I keep it relatively clean. Like, a cheat day to me is having some, like, low carb fajitas and, you know, Fiber One, you know, or throwing some, like, Cheerios and stuff. But, I mean, maybe Lee can elaborate on a little bit more, but I've certainly had days like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, I totally think that there's something to knowing when you need to take a break, knowing when you need to carb up, and it kind of naturally, like, I mean, you can call it a crash, you could call it, you know, just intuitive, you know, all those kind of responses definitely come into play. But I think that genetics plays such a large role in that to some degree, because there are, you know, I've personally never had to deal with issues of being largely overweight, Tony. I don't think you have, correct? Like, you've
Wait,
always
what was
been
that?
Kind of. You've never had to deal with issues with being, like, obese or overweight.
No. You've always been I'm one of those people that people hate, because I can
get to eat whatever you want, basically.
I don't do any cardio, and I'm still, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
but
that's kind of a lie, though.
It's not to say that I don't watch what I eat, though.
Of course. I'm just saying, I think that for people that, I think that when you look at it in maybe a study or genetic sense, that as far as something like intuitive eating going, it seems like the kind of people that fall along the guidelines of intuitive eating are people that are naturally kind of, women that are naturally kind of more sticks, and men that are naturally more inclined to be involved in more health and yoga and things like, you know those guys. Okay, and it seems like that you know what I'm talking about. And it seems like that realm of those kind of people seem to really get in on board of that whole intuitive eating, you know, what nature throws at you and making sure to eat things around, like, the times of season and stuff like that. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but I don't think that this applies to the average person in America.
No,
and I will not say that I have read the book in particular that's being talked about a lot right now, because I have it, and maybe I'm wrong. But I can just say from study and research that I have seen, and from, you know, the people I have worked with, that intuitive eating means I'm emotional, stressed out, and I want to, you know, binge on some, you know, pizza, potato chips, and down some soda. That's intuitive eating in the world that I know it to be. I don't know it to be like, oh, I'm going to take in an apple today because I just feel, oh, I said the need for some fruit. Like, that's not what I see happening in a real world setting, but that's just me.
So. Very good. Let's move on to...
Wow, deep voice.
You guys are saying that like I talk like a woman or something. Like, that's, you know. I have heard that you should have protein with every meal. Is that a myth? For example, if I have an apple as a snack, should I have a hard-boiled egg with it? That's from Rudy. Tony, should I be having protein with every single meal? Is it okay if I just have a snack?
I mean, you know what? Like, I mean, I'm a protein guy, so I mean, I'll say I think more often than not, people need or should be eating a little bit more protein in their diets. But as far as do they have to have it with every single meal? Same thing applies. I mean, you don't have to do anything. I think from a body composition standpoint, from an insulin standpoint, which is going to help a body composition, I think it's a good idea to throw in a little protein here and there with every meal. I mean, you don't want – I mean, yeah, apple is a snack. Sure, great. You know, that I mean, I think
– But you also got to think, like, an apple is, like, what, 80 calories?
Oh, yeah, that's what I was just going to get at. I mean, certainly an apple is a snack. That's a great snack. Like, sure, have an apple. Like, that, I mean, I wouldn't say, oh, my God, I have to have some beef jerky with it or a protein shake with it. I mean, no. But that's not to say that I don't usually tell people, you know, what's a good afternoon snack for you to do at work? Hey, have, you know, a piece of fruit with a protein shake or something. I just think the protein is going to – it helps just from a satiety standpoint. It keeps people full. It controls blood sugar levels. Thermogenic rate is higher, so they're going to be burning more calories. So, I mean, I'm a protein guy. Like, I'm not going to lie and say that I don't advocate that more people eat more protein, but I do think it can get a little overblown where you get, like, these anal types who are like, oh, my God, you got to have a protein with every single meal, snack, da, da, da. I mean, a lot of people don't have, you know, it's just too much to think about. Like, you know, hey, have your apples, big deal, you know?
If people want to, hopefully everyone already listened to the off-topic discussion before they came to the show, which would be totally unorthodox, but hopefully you did, because we talked about Step Brothers, a movie, and Tony just reminded me of probably the best part of that movie when, this isn't like a spoiler or anything, but Will Ferrell's brother goes up to their treehouse, goes, man, I'm successful. I haven't had a carb since 2004. And he pulls up his shirt and he's got like an 8-pack and it's all tan. I thought that was awesome. I haven't had a carb since 2004.
That's such a good movie. Like, people, if you, the off topic, we talked about that movie for like 10 minutes. Such a good movie.
It's really good. Lee, what do you think? Oh, wait, Tony, can you ask Lee what she thinks?
Lee, what do you think?
I'm not talking to Kevin right now. But Tony, to answer your question, you know, it's funny because a lot of people talk about protein with every meal and then they take it to the extreme. In general, these guidelines by the majority of people were set up because they were to help you to learn how to eat more of a balanced meal. But then the extremes kind of come in and, you know, bodybuilding habits and all these sort of, you know, optimizing, you know, protein intake around this and around that, it starts to get taken to like that next level. And all of a sudden, someone don't have an apple if they don't have, you know, some beef jerky or a hard-boiled egg. You can totally have protein with every meal, or you can totally have like a, you know, an apple for a snack. It's just kind of up to you. Just make sure that you're getting adequate enough protein in the day. Exactly. And you'll be fine. It depends on how many meals you're having. And, you know, it's funny because I have people that, you know, they try and get in protein every meal and they're like, oh, well, you know, I don't want to have like a blood sugar drop. And then they'll down like, you know, a whey shake. And it's like, you realize that has like nice little insulin effect and raises blood glucose level pretty high, you know, and really isn't probably helping you in as much as you think it does. So people just need to stick to the whole foods. You know, get in a good, nice, balanced, you know, meals. If they want to have a snack and an apple, or if they want to have it in a cheese stick, that's up to them. Definitely kind of rate how you respond to your intake and your foods, but no, you do not have to have protein every meal, and I won't beat the horse anymore. And Tony, you can tell Kevin that I answered this question.
Okay. Next, Kevin. Next question, Kevin.
Oh, okay. We're back. The next question comes from Paul. He says, I found that paying attention to recovery and deload weeks are very beneficial to me because I tend to push myself too much in training. As far as diet goes during a deload week, how much should a person's calorie intake drop? I know this is kind of individual, but should I drop back close to maintenance levels during a deload phase? I find that I have to eat around 3,600 to 3,700 calories a day to slowly gain weight. I will also not be using a post-workout shake, just a meal afterwards during a deload. In other words, do you guys vary your diet with your training or keep your intake relatively high to aid in recovery? And I think, Tony, this is a great question for you since you, I think this is, I mean, Tony and I both like deloaded for the first time. For me, it was about 2 months since I deloaded. Tony, I think it was a while for you as well.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we do fluctuate our training stress. We try to go every four, at least with our programming, with our own clients, we go every fourth week. Personally, we do it like once a year because we're stupid.
Yeah, but, and then you go, hey, some heavy doubles? I want to do some heavy doubles. Yeah.
No, and also, like, I mean, I try to go get a deload in every fourth or fifth week or so, and I'll be honest and say, like, when I do a deload week, yeah, I do kind of go, you know, structure my diet around my deloads as well, because, I mean, the way I see it, if I'm not going to be spending as many calories, you know, as many calories training, I'm not going to need all those calories per day. I think what he's doing is perfectly fine. He's not using his post-workout shake, which is going to be, I mean, let's assume he's using Surge. You know, there's 350 calories right there.
Or Cetaphys.
What is it? Yeah, or Cetaphys. And, you know, that's going to be what, a roughly 40 to 50 grams of carbs and, you know, 20 or so grams of protein. I think that alone, I mean, usually if I'm going to tell somebody to decrease calories, I'm only going to start them at like 10, maybe 20% deficit. Like I'm not one of those guys that uses the minus 500 calories per whatever.
Mm-hmm.
People don't need that big of a deficit to begin with. And I think if he subtracts his post-workout shake, like he says he's doing, that's going to be roughly 10% right there. So I think that would be fine. Just follow it with a regular meal afterwards, you know, like 45 minutes to an hour afterwards and you're golden. But for the most part, I'm in the camp of when you are deloading and you're dropping your volume or whatever, you're not going to necessarily quote unquote need, all those calories per se. But that's going to be different than if somebody is coming off an injury. I will say people tend to, when you're injured, say you know, broke a leg or you had surgery, your body needs those calories just from a recovery standpoint. And like the 10% range, that's all I'm saying. Like I would say stay at maintenance, maybe like 10% above that, like between 5 to 10% above that. So, yes, it is individual, but for the most part, I think what he says he's doing, is perfectly cool.
Tony, can you answer what Lee thinks?
Lee. Holler.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, deloading is very individual and it depends on what you're going for and how long you've been training. And, you know, it's a recovery time. So I really don't like to cut back on the calories too much. At the same time, you don't, you know, want to be necessarily gorging yourself if you're particularly worried about putting on any sort of excess fat. But, you know, definitely stay around. I like the 10% range as well, you know, 5-10%. And if you go a little over, no big deal. It's a short period of time. You're supposed to take the time off. It's a de-stress, deload. That's kind of the whole point of it is recovery, and eating helps in aid recovery as much as rest does. So I wouldn't get too worried about it. Just eat, feel good, and rest. And Tony covered the rest of it. There you go.
Well, since I don't hear anything else, something I wanted to add was that, you know, I think he did bring up that he wasn't having a post-workout shake. And although I don't think, Paul, that you should be having something that's, you know, a traditional post-workout shake that's like 50 grams of carbs and 20, 25 grams of protein, like Tony said, I think we don't exactly know if you're going to be going right from the gym into a meal, or if you're going to go from the gym, drive 20 minutes home, it's going to take you 20 minutes to cook something, and you might go, you know, you might eat probably an hour before you hit the gym, so you go like 2-2.5 hours while training and then hitting, not having anything to eat. So, what I usually do is just have like a whey casein mix, like a low carb shake. A good example is, Ultra Peptide 1.0, that's low in fat, or if you go with BioTest, it would be like something like Low Carb Metabolic Drive would be a great alternative. Just you still want to have something in your stomach after you train. You don't want to just go for about an hour after you train and not have anything in your stomach. You still need something for recovery there. That's important. Let's see. I think we'll hit up one more question, and we're going to get a question from the place where Mission Impossible was done, because that's where I heard about this place before when I was young. But Dan says, "Hey guys, I just started listening to the Fitcast and I really like it. The question is coming to you from Prague," which again, Mission Impossible 1 was in Prague.
Great movie.
Great movie. John Voight. "And my knees are always cracking. Whenever I bend my knees, whether it be during squats or just when I bend them throughout the day, they pop loudly, like when I tie my shoes, for example. They have been like this for years now, and although they never give me any pain, I am afraid that it is also a sign of pain to come in the future. Is there an accurate assumption to make? Also, if it is there anything I can do to stop the cracking and improve the health of my knees? I'm 25 and played soccer all the way through high school, and I was a goalie. I banged up my knees pretty badly, and I hypothesized that the cause of the cracking is from that. To my knowledge, there is no history of knee problems in my family. So basically, my question is there something I should be concerned about, or even about, even though I don't experience any pain? And if it is, what can I do to help? I'm also tired of sounding like an 80-year-old man at the gym. Thanks from Dan." And Tony is a man of many knee problems. And since Lee isn't talking to me, I will talk to you first.
Yeah. You know what? The way he wording it, I mean, I think he's scared he's going to get some osteoarthritis or something like that.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, could be foreseeable. But a lot of people get cracking in their knees with no pain. The fact that he's saying he's been dealing with it for years now with no pain doesn't really give me any red flags. That's certainly not to say that he can't do anything to take some precautions. It could be something as simple as just simply strengthening your knees and squatting the right way. A lot of people, their squat technique is atrocious. Mm-hmm. So, just making sure that they are getting a proper depth, they're sitting back, the knees are out, heels stay on the floor. I'm not a big fan of people squatting with their heels elevated on a board or anything like that. Just working on tissue quality. Let's hope that he is doing some foam rolling, some soft tissue work. Just improving your hip mobility, ankle mobility, do some glute activation. And even nutritionally, I would say load up on fish oil, glucosamine, MSM, and see if that helps, vitamin D. In all honesty, the way he's wording it and the fact that he's been dealing with this for 4 years, training, no pain, he could get it checked out. It wouldn't be a bad idea. Just because, that's not to say that people who go through the same thing and develop osteoarthritis in a few years, that doesn't happen. But the way that he's wording it, it sounds like he's a pretty active guy. He just may need to tweak a few things from the stuff I mentioned before. So, granted, this is over the internet and I don't know this guy in person, but based on the way he's saying it, I would say not that big of a deal. I don't think there's anything anything to be worried about too much, but certainly, look into that list of stuff I mentioned like 2 minutes ago.
I will let Tony ask Lee about this, but I just wanted to quickly say that Dan John did a presentation at a seminar that I went to in LA a couple years ago, and you can see that video on Google Video for free if you just type in Dan John video, I think, in Google. Actually, that's a nice little project. If you type in Dan John in Google, like the fifth thing that pops up is that video, and it's on Google Video, so you can watch that and get some technique tips and just
absolutely. I mean, technique's going to be huge. People clean up the technique, and the crackiness goes away. I can't express this enough how important it is, but doing the soft tissue work is going to be huge.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't mention it, and I'm still surprised. There's still a lot of people that come to us for their evaluations, and they've never heard of a foam roller. And, you know, certainly I don't think it's the end-all be-all of soft tissue modalities, but for most people and the average people that we deal with, there's so many benefits to doing it. So really paying particular attention to the IT band, getting in those hip flexors, you know, getting in the adductors. I mean, it's going to take a lot of the – it's going to, you know, improve tissue quality with the passive restraints so that it takes a lot of the pressure off the knee. So hopefully he can get on the bandwagon and start doing that stuff too.
Tony.
Yes, I just answered it. You know what I mean, Lee?
Okay. So, yeah, basically what Tony said. To just get a little bit more in depth, usually since you say there's no no pain with the popping, then it leads me to believe that it's more than likely synovial fluid, which is like the gas is in the joints and it's escaping and it pops. And it's a really, really fancy way of saying that your knee's like farting, basically.
That's I what mean, I was just going to say. Wouldn't it be funny if your knees made farting noises and that just shows that I'm 10 years old?
Yeah, it's kind of what it is. I mean, it's awesome. Just gas escaping from your knees. And usually it's not dangerous. Usually it's not a problem. There could be maybe some sort of leading to saying, well, if you have, you know, lots of gas escaping, then could there be inflammatories in your synovial joint and fluids and all that kind of, I don't know. If you are worried about that or any sort of like articular damage, you know, first pain is the biggest sign. If you don't have that, great. But definitely focus on recovery, deloads, lots of good flats and soft tissue work. Doing things properly, making sure that your mobility in general is taken care of, and you shouldn't really have any issues. But just to say that basically, it sounds like to me your knees are farting, and it's not anything to be too worked up about. Nice. See what I bring? I bring a lot. You know?
Nice. All right. I think that's going to wrap it up for the mailbag. We're going to be right back in 2 seconds. We're going to talk quickly about what music we've been listening to lately while we train. We'll be right back. The roundtable this week, we're going to be talking about music we've been training to, and in the Crescent Performance CD changer, we always have the same 5 CDs in there all day long, which is Rage. And as Eric Cressy puts it, my mother didn't love me music, which I'm personally not that big of a fan of. I'm starting to somewhat like what Tony throws in on the nights that he's training. It's slowly, and it's not the songs where the singer's telling
Boy.
To take...
That's an inside joke.
really
I'll tell you the joke afterwards. It's an inside joke.
Should we probably not mention it on the show? The reference?
No, we're done. We're done.
Okay. you know, that's that brings up like a lot of things. Like the people that you work with, there's just so many inside references. Like we always talk about the I Drink Your Milkshake. I love that. Not the song, but the movie.
There will be blood.
There will be blood. But you know what? I'm gonna throw out a couple things I've been listening to lately, and it's things I usually listen to at the computer when I start my work in the morning before heading into the gym because it gets me going. I'm a very big alternative rock fan. Big alternative rock fan. So, although I do listen to the Snow Patrol and the Death Cab for Cuties, and you know, the music people will make fun of Coldplay, people will make fun of me for that. There's also some good stuff in there that you can take along with you on the iPod, or if you're really cool, the Microsoft Zune to the gym. But the a couple things I've been listening to. First, it's a band called MGMT, and that's M as in man, G as in girl, M again as in man, and T as in toy, I guess. I could have been like Echo, Bravo, Charlie, but I didn't do that. But that it's a really cool, I don't know, it's not a very new band, but it's a band that I discovered recently. Their latest album is called Oracular Spectacular. And there's a couple songs on there, most notably Kids is a good song. And Tony listened to, or he was watching, actually, no, it's another band. But okay, that's one band I'm going to mention. Another one is the band called Does It Offend You, comma, Yeah, question mark, which I think is a very odd name for a band. But they have some cool songs called Dawn of the Dead, which is not only a great movie, but it's also a good song. Being Bad Feels Pretty Good, another good song, an epic last song. Like, that's a great, their CD is called You Have No Idea What You're Getting Yourself Into. Great band, and I think people, if you like alternative rock, you should definitely check that out. Another one, Paramore, their CD Riot, which has a female singer, and I tend to mostly hate female singers, but I discovered this band via Rock Band 2. So that's how I played one of their songs like 100 times in Rock Band 2. I'm a big fan of it, called That's What You Get, which is a very good song. But I think I'll keep it there for now. We'll go to Lee first, since we went to Tony first for the last two questions. Lee, what have you been like? Do you have the new Paris Hilton CD? I heard that's pretty good. She's getting into all facets of acting and collaborating.
Lee, feel free to cry.
I just forgave you, and you fucking blew it.
Well, you know what?
Whatever.
Barry Steenburgen ruined Back to the Future 3. Okay. Lee, go ahead. Lee, are you there? Did she just hang up? Tony, she's gone. Tony, why don't you go first? Are you guys both giving up on me? Tony. Oh, okay. It's not my fault. We have connection issues. We'll be right back. Okay, we have Tony and Lee back on the line. Lee didn't hate me and hang up. She just, we lost the internet connection. So, Lee, what do you got?
It was Skype saving your ass is what it was. Okay, so,
yes.
let's see. Right now, I've been listening to a kind of a plethora thing. In general, I like a lot of indie rock. I like a lot of trip hop, and I like a lot of hip hop. I like a lot of everything. I listen to everything. But let's see, new album out from M83, Saturdays Equal Love. It's very the love theme music that plays during like 1980s John Cusack movies, like specifically like Better Off Dead, if that makes sense to like anybody. It's kind of like Cockatoo Twins meets like The Cure meets, I don't know, but like in this like 80s kind of way. You just really see John Cusack making out with somebody and when I listen to this music. So anyway, I really like that kind of music when I'm
like
trying
Depeche
to like
Depeche Mode?
Like what?
Like Depeche Mode at all?
No, like it's not as dark. Like it's really on that level of like it's almost it's not quite like Mr. or like Aha, but it's got a little bit of that like kind of 80s pop moments, but with a little bit more depth and lots of like synthesizer keyboards thrown in. So it's like that. Cut Copy was the next one I was going to mention, and their new album In Ghost Colors, and that is definitely more like New Order-ish and Depeche Mode. Definitely has more of that kind of European electro pop feel going on into it, and definitely good for when you're trying to do like your cardio and you need to get like kind of pumped up and things like that. Like those are when I listen to cardio music, because I hate doing cardio music, I have to really be able to like zone out in my head and daydream and have, you know, those kind of like conversational like daydreams where you're just like, you know, you're really like visualizing like some whole new thing. Like I need to zone out because I hate cardio. So there's like
that.
Did you
get some of those CDs like the people in spinning classes have?
No, see, I can't do like, no, see, spinning classes is like,
that was a joke.
And I can't do that. Like I hear that and I want to run. So, well, away, not like run in like cardio. But when I'm lifting, I like more aggressive or really good guitar riffs, either one, but usually it kind of go hand in hand. But right now, my favorite song to lift to or to do any sort of training to is My Morning Jacket, One Big Holiday. And it has the best guitar intro ever. Like, ever. I highly recommend, as soon as possible, just going to YouTube and typing it in and listening to that guitar intro. My Morning Jacket, One Big Holiday. They're more of an indie rock, like kind of folk pop rock band. They've really got that guitar tone for that. It's just so excellent. And it's just, it's this big lead up and then it's like this, you know, build up, and it has like the best guitar solo ever. It's kind of reminiscent of like Lynyrd Skynyrd meets like Pearl Jam, like back in like 1990s. It's like if you could mix a Lynyrd Skynyrd like guitar solo, like Pearl Jam guitar solo,
oh,
and
God,
like blend
I hate
them together.
Pearl Jam, that's... So that's a loss. I hate Pearl Jam.
They have some of the best guitar solos like ever though. Like even if you don't dig on like Eddie Vedder's music, like the guitar solos in like 10.
I don't dig on singers that sound like they need to take a crap when they sing. I think that's bad. Like Creed is out. Pearl Jam is out. Nirvana's out.
You can't put them in the same category. Oh
no, they are. It's called I'm Constipated and I Like to Sing.
Oh, what a...
Tony, why don't you tell me what you like to listen to, boy?
So we're talking about stuff we listen to while we train, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Because, I mean, I'm all about hip-hop and rap, but I think hip-hop and rap today sucks. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't like Lil Wayne. I don't like... whoever, I don't even know who the popular rap groups are now. Like, we kind of rely on our athletes to bring in new stuff for us. Like, I don't watch MTV or VH1 or whatever.
Tony, not to be like a downer, but MTV and VH1 doesn't play music anymore.
Yeah, but VH1 does play The Pickup Artist, and that's like my new favorite show.
It's the cheesiest show ever,
but I cannot stop watching it. But anyways, back on topic. Like, I'm more of a, like, when I lift, I love listening to old school rap. So I'm like a Tribe Called Quest, Wu-Tang Clan, Nas, Jay-Z. Not that Jay-Z's old school, but his stuff is good. But, I mean, I think everyone knows by now that I'm definitely a trance and house and techno guy. But like Lee said, I don't listen to the crap they play in spin class. Like, I listen to good trance and good techno, like from Europe. So you got Tiesto and Luis Vito. You know, but, and I usually just buy confirmation albums, so then I play those. So whenever Eric isn't there, I bust that in, and everyone loves me for it. And then, my new favorite song is by a band called One Day is a Lion. The lead singer from Rage Against the Machine, I forgot his name. I have no idea what his name is.
Zachary something.
Yeah. One Day is a Lion's a new band he's in, and the song's called Wild International. Me and Brian... Mm-hmm. Brian St. Pierre at CPR fucking love that song. So so when we're getting ready to do like a heavy pull or something, we bust that song out, and that typically gets us going. So, but yeah, I mean, not unfortunately, because I mean, I like the music we play, but yeah, we play the same stuff every day, and that tends to be what it is. You guys are more of music connoisseurs than I am, but that's my input or my contribution to the conversation.
Cool. All right, well, I think that's going to wrap it up for us here. I want to thank everyone for checking out the show. Please check out the forums at forums.thefitcast.com. And again, one thing I do want to quickly bring up, and I apologize for not bringing it up earlier, but Lee, the 30-day challenge is out. Fill us in on what happened.
It is finished. It is officially over. And so far, tally, I think now it's up to around 100 pounds were lost overall. And the before and after pictures are up of my crew. And I will have the readers' before and after pictures up too. And it's been pretty fantastic. I mean, the results that these people have had in 30 days. The winner is Jim. And in 30 days, he lost 22 pounds. Which is nice. Pretty nuts. Maybe even gained some lean body mass. So it wasn't just a complete, you know, losing any weight by any weight means possible. It was very particularly designed program for him, and he rocked it, and then some. He looks awesome. And so now he will, I will finish out his program. That's like part of the prize, and he gets some other goodies, some gift certificates and stuff. There's going to be so far $100 donated to St. Jude's.
Yay. Nice.
For Yes, yay for that. So overall, it went really, really well. It went really well.
Very cool. Well, people can check that out on at least website at avidityfitness.net. Notice how I started getting it right after you made a website humiliating me with pictures with, like, lolcats text in it.
Yeah, well, if that was nothing compared to what's coming. Just whatever.
How about me kissing Paris Hilton?
I am really good with Photoshop when I need to be.
Good. Good for that. Tony, what are we going to see at the Boston Herald Step Up / G-Spot blog?
I'm gonna do a little post this week. Well, last week I insinuated that I was gonna be talking about supplements here and there. So I'm gonna talk a little bit about protein powder this week. I'm also gonna go on a little diatribe on sit-ups again because I just can't stand them, and I like making fun of people who do sit-ups. But
nice.
So yeah, that's what I'm gonna do. Yeah, that's about it.
Cool. Well, that's going to, again, wrap it up for us here. Please subscribe to the FitCast via iTunes. You can check out the website at thefitcast.com. And we'll be out of here until next week. Thanks again, everyone, for listening. And, you know, Back to the Future 3 would have been better without Mary Steenburgen, but she's hot.
Okay,
and Step Brother. That's it. Thank you, everyone. See you next week. All right, here's the off-topic section for everyone who missed it the last 2 weeks or so. And the first thing that I want to bring up is the movie Step Brothers, which stars Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly and of Talladega, the guys that were in Talladega Nights as well. And I got to say, a pretty fine movie. I think it's, Tony, it's your best movie of the year so far, right?
No, but... It is a phenomenal movie in the sense of quotable movies. Like, that, there are so many good one-liners in that movie. I saw that movie about a week after I saw Tropic Thunder. And
it's better than Tropic Thunder.
Like, Step Brothers and Tropic Thunder are probably the best comedies of this year. I actually just saw Role Models the other night, which was really good, too. But Step Brothers, while I haven't been a fan of Will Ferrell's past few movies, this one definitely was a comeback for him. For lack of a better term, but very, very, very quotable movie, and it's definitely you have to kind of like that kind of humor. You know what I'm talking about, Kevin. It's very,
it's for guys that like Star Wars.
Very, yeah, it's very much a guy movie as far as humor, and you know, don't fucking fall asleep, or I'll fucking kill you. You know, like it's like I just find that stuff hilarious. But you did like it though, because I know you were skeptical to watch it.
You know what? I really did like it, and the I think one of the best parts of it was Mary Steenburgen, because she's hot. She's like,
yeah, she's not too shabby.
She's like 60, and she is damn good looking. And I really hated her in Back to the Future 3. I thought she was really one of the worst parts of that movie, and she stepped it up in Step Brothers 20 years later. And redeemed herself. So congrats to Mary Steenburgen. But yeah, absolutely. I think that like you can just tell like a lot of the scenes, they were not scripted. They just did whatever they want.
Pure improvisation. Pure improv.
Yeah. And I think like I was just starting to watch Walk Hard earlier today. I watched like half an hour of it just because I was on a, you know, it's on a comedy rush, and I couldn't watch it because I don't think John C. Reilly can carry a movie by himself, and I don't think Will Ferrell can carry a movie by himself, because if you see things like Anchorman, there was such a great cast around him. Obviously, there's like Steve Carell, and you had the actress that played, I forget, Christine Applegate. It was really good, and obviously he had all of his friends in the movie. And that's a lot of what was kind of brought over to Step Brothers. I think it works so well. Like, just one of the best lines is when John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell, they get grounded, and his dad's saying, like, when I say this with love, and you guys are losers or something like that. And then John C. Reilly says, Dad, I mean this with love. Fuck you. and I thought that was really good. obviously, I'm not as funny.
Well, yeah, it's just in general, like, John C. Reilly, I would agree. I wouldn't say he could carry a movie. I love The Walk Hard, just because it's in the camp of Judd Apatow and his crew. Judd Apatow directed 40-Year-Old Virgin, Knocked Out, and, you know, he's produced a lot of other movies. But John C. Reilly is actually a very, very, very good character actor. Like, if anyone's ever watched Boogie Nights or Magnolia, you know, he can do drama, he can do comedy, you know, he's definitely a great actor. Not necessarily someone I would say could carry a movie alone, like, well, I'm going to go see the new John C. Reilly movie, but he's definitely a good character actor, absolutely.
Lee, have you seen Step Brothers?
I haven't. I'm dying to see it. I love this kind of movies. Sorry.
Oh, it's very crass humor.
I know it's going to be something that I quote until the end of time, but yeah, I definitely want to see it, so...
Yeah, and I always get on Tony because I'm more of, like, I like Star Wars, but I really like Star Trek, so whenever we're at the facility, I always talk about how, you know, Star Trek has more quality content than Star Wars does, because, there's obviously so many more episodes and hours of footage.
And
but...
you're a jackass.
Why am I a jackass?
I don't even see how you can compare the two.
Okay, no they're different. They take place in space. That's the only similarity.
I will say I saw this weekend as well. I was on a movie watching kick this weekend, but I saw Quantum of Solace, and they had the trailer for the new Star Trek.
Oh, I heard it was awesome.
Really good. Yeah, the trailer was actually pretty cool. And I like J.J. Abrams because he did Lost and Alias. But it wasn't the teaser trailer. It was the actual Star Trek trailer, and it was actually really pretty badass. I'll probably go see it.
But he could do the sequel to Sex and the City, and guys would go see it. That's how good he is.
J.J. Abrams?
Yeah.
Probably.
I saw
Sex and the City in theater. I'm not embarrassed to say it. Why are crickets chirping? Seven?
Yeah.
I like movies. What can I say? They showed boobs in the movie, so it's not like there wasn't nudity.
Well, that's good, Tony.
Let's move on.
But I think that's about. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about in off-topic stuff? I don't think there's. We could talk about how this is kind of like news related for fitness, but EA. Who's a big video game maker, they're actually making their own sports game for the Wii, and they're trying to make it more Western in terms of, it's not so much yoga, but it's more like kickboxing, and it comes with like jump stretch bands and resistance bands, so there's like a little bit of resistance for some of the movements that people do. So I don't know.
I haven't heard of this. Do you know what it called? What's it called?
I will send you the link. Luckily, I am up to date on all the latest video game news, so you guys can make sure of that. But Tony, how was Quantum of Solace? Did you like it?
I did. The opening sequence. I won't give it away for any listeners who are listening who haven't seen it. But number one, I'll say I liked it a lot. Number two, I will say it wasn't as good as Casino Royale. Mark Forrester directed it, and he did Finding Neverland, and he's never really done any action movies. He's always done, like, you know, the cutesy dramas, but he actually did a pretty good job with the action sequences. There were some pretty kick-ass scenes in that movie, but Daniel Craig was very badass as usual, and there were some really good one-liners in that movie. But all in all, I would say I like Casino Royale better. And I was never a Bond guy. Like, up until Casino Royale, I never watched a James Bond movie because I was like, oh, they're kind of cheesy, whatever. But since it's been revamped, I've watched these two, and both very good. But I would say I still like Casino Royale just a smidgen better. But I don't want to give anything away as far as – I will say the opening scene of Quantum of Solace, like, as soon as the movie starts, it's like, bam, action. It's but there's some pretty badass scenes.
Cool. Well, I'm going to try to see it. Eric and I were talking about it a little bit last night while we're training. Were you able to get a lot of training in?
Yeah, I trained both days while I was away. Yep. Cool. So I got some, and I also saw a lot of things that made me want to puke in my mouth as far as us. You know, it amazes me. I'm going to write about this in an article, but just how mindless people are when they train at, like, any commercial gym I've ever gone to, it just boggles my mind, like, how I wouldn't say stupid, because, I mean, there's people doing the right stuff, but it's just but a lot of the stuff is just atrocious. I'm like, I saw this one girl doing back extensions with full flexion, then into hyperextension. I'm just like, half the time in my head I'm coaching. You know, I'm trying to get a workout in, but then at the same time I'm trying to coach too. Like, oh, I'd love to just walk up to that person. And I mean, I would never be that person, because it's just, number one, it's rude. Number two, you know, I wouldn't want somebody to do that to me. But it's just, we're pretty, the three of us are pretty lucky in where we train and how we train, and more particular where we train. You know, we don't have to see a lot of the stupid stuff, but I don't know how some people do it, how they can train an environment where there's, you know, soft music playing and they're surrounded by no natural light. And then they're surrounded by people who just are retards.
Yeah, it's really bad when you start seeing people warm up and they're doing things like scorpions and stuff like that.
It's just like, I didn't see one passable squat whatsoever. Like, I mean, and people are squatting, which is great. Like, that's fantastic. But not one passable squat where I'd be like, okay, that's a decent squat. Not even a decent squat. There wasn't anyone even close to doing a squat that I would be like, that didn't make me cringe. And then, you know, it's just, you know, people doing upright rows, and I mean, with horrible posture, and I mean, it's just, it's mind boggling. And then they wonder why. And I'm going to write about it. Like, people always complain about the gyms they train at and how, we have people come out to the Crusty Performance that drive 45 minutes both ways, you know, and, you know, but yet there's people on these forums or wherever where they're like, oh, my gym sucks. They don't let me do this. They don't allow chalk. They play bad music. You know what? Suck it up and find a place to train. You know, everyone has the right to complain, but with that comes a responsibility to do something about it. And no one ever does anything about it. They'll just complain, 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 complain. I'm like, you know what? After a while, I just say, you know, shut up and do something about it. You know, go find even if it's only once a week, go find a place where it's a good environment, you can get shit done and do it. And, you know, as well as I do, Kevin, that's a huge factor.
Well, I think we talked about this a little bit before, and, you know, believe it or not, my internship's wrapping up in about a month. And, after I'm done with my internship, I'm still going to train at Crest Performance. I've talked with a good friend, Pete, and hopefully I'll still get to train with you guys on some nights after I
Yeah, you're still going to come out on Saturdays and stuff, right?
I don't know.
Or just during the week?
I think it will be 4 days a week.
That you're still going to come out to Crest Performance?
Not to work, to train.
No, to train, yeah. That's what I mean.
Yes. I'm going to try to schedule hours so I can get out of, whether it be at Boston Sports Clubs or whatever, by 5 o'clock so I can come train at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, because I know, Lee, you changed gyms too, and you said it's a huge difference.
Oh, absolutely. I was at...
I mean, because I know you just joined like a couple weeks ago, like a pretty kick-ass gym,
like a
right?
Curves or something? Is that where you went?
No, I was at Gold's. I was at the hell that is Gold's Gym. I hate Gold's Gym. I like fought with the trainers there. It was just bad. It was so bad.
Really? That's awesome.
Yeah, like I hated that place. So I ended up switching to. I mean, technically, it's called the club. It's so like the club, but it technically it's kind of like, I guess a rich people's gym, like in this area. That's what it's considered. It's kind of like a, you know, it has like a racquetball court and everything, but it also has a sports facility in it. So it has like a turf, it has sled pools, like it has like that kind of separate part from the people that do the kind of stupid things. So I get to work away from the people that do the stupid things for the most part, and I only have to kind of walk past them as I'm entering in the gym and then leaving. But I, you know, I do see, you know, squats on, you know, the little bougie things, you know, with one dumbbell up in the air, and I want to hit something when I see it. And I get frustrated with the guy that talks really loudly on the treadmill every single time that I'm in there, and he must be on the treadmill for like 2 hours, like every day, he sits there and he talks really loudly. And I thought to myself, I'm like, oh my God, like, does this guy have a hearing problem? Because you can hear him throughout like the entire gym, and he'll just start talking to like everybody that walks by. And all he does is he walks on the treadmill and talks really loudly on it. And I don't understand what purpose that he serves. And he's like 140 pounds, no more, like soaking wet. And I'm like, just please go lift a weight. Just go lift a weight. And he doesn't. And I could get off forever, but at least I have like a back area of my gym.
You know, that's something I wanted to talk about, because actually it's kind of off the same topic that Lee's talking about. But like, I think women who lift weights are so much hotter, and I think it's weird because guys that lift weights will be so much more attracted to girls that lift weights. And I think that is something that I just am starting to notice more and more. I see like women running outside. There's like a Route 20 when I drive to Crest Performance every day. There's always women running up and down there because it's not, there's sidewalks and stuff like that. And they just look like, you know, they just,
it doesn't look pretty.
Well, first off, the running doesn't look pretty. but just them themselves, like obviously they're not getting the results they want. They're not going to get, you know, that, I don't know, insert actress name here, like that Jessica Biel look by running 45 minutes a day, 4 days a week. They have to get their ass in the gym. I don't care if you have to start and buy a Bowflex or some crap like that. You know, something that actually saw, they're selling like pull-up bars and infomercials now. I don't know if you guys have seen this.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, I bought one.
Oh, you did?
No,
how is it?
No, it's awesome.
Like, I wasn't knocking it.
I know. I got the generic version, right? I didn't buy like the $129 one. No, like at like Big Lots, like it was there, and I totally snagged one, and I got one for like my friend's dad too. And it's awesome. It's really not that bad. Like, you can take it with you like anywhere. It's like perfect for like hotel training. It really is. Like,
absolutely.
You can just attach it to your door and just start knocking out some, like, you know, chin-ups, pull-ups. You can do neutral grip. You can do, like, all different kinds of, like, styles. You can do some, like, push-ups, and, well, you can do some, like, dips. But, I mean, who does dips on something that's, like, 4 inches?
How much was yours?
Mine was $29.
Wow. They're selling them for, like, $100 on TV.
Yeah, see, that's crap. I don't do that. But at Big Lots, you could totally get the, like, generic version. And you can also get the generic ultimate push-ups. Which, okay, they were fun. I can't help it. They were. But you can get those for like $19 too, and they were selling them for like $99, which is ridiculous. But yeah, so go to Big Lots or some sort of like local place like that and get yourself the pull-up bar for much, much cheaper.
Nice. Yeah, I think women just need to do more strength training. Like, I don't know.
Well, I think the
information's getting out there, but they're still not doing it in mass. The people that read Ali, your blog, and Tony's blog, obviously they're going to be lifting, but they're still in like the general perception, like women are going to like cardio classes, and they're going to spinning classes and yoga and Pilates, where they're not really getting even, I mean, just for the health benefits of weight bearing exercise, they're just not getting it.
Yeah, I mean, the general listener of this show, I mean, we have really educated listeners. I mean, they know better. But, I mean, agreed. You know, women, even when I was in New York this past weekend training at this facility, I mean, and I trained with a friend of mine, a girlfriend of mine. And, you know, it's no coincidence that her and I were, you know, not to blow sunshine up our own asses, but the leanest people there. And we were the only ones that were, you know, deadlifting, doing chin-ups, and afterwards, you know, we were doing intervals on the pre-core machine, like just 10 minutes of busting ass intervals. And then meanwhile, the people around us are watching TV, walking on incline at like, you know, 3 miles an hour, you know, and it's no coincidence that, you know, we were the leanest people there with the type of stuff that we do, you know? So when I said like, it blows my mind how mindless people are when they're training, that's what I mean. It's just like, there's no rhyme or reason to their training. They're there. Mm-hmm. And they think that because they're there, that counts, you know. Oh, I'm in the gym, I'm training. It's like, no, I'm not really. You're not really doing that much, you know. Yeah. So that's what I meant by, you know, the mindlessness of people going in there. Like, you can just tell. They're, I mean, even the guys that are in the weight room, the guys, it's completely mindless. They're just kind of walking around. Okay, what do I feel like doing? Okay, there's a couple of dumbbells, I'll curl them. All right. Well, we'll grab a glass of water. Oh, look at that hot trainer.
The guys are in the gym now are basically me. If, you know, if people didn't tell me to not bench every single day. That's what they
are. Right, we have to hold you back from benching every day. That is true.
That it gets pretty bad.
No, Kevin, we're not benching today. Anyone ask everyone, hey, you benching today? You benching today?
Well, I just like to know, just in case, like if they're doing some kind of, you know, if it's going to be low volume benching, I might throw it in there.
Right.
If I'm going to have a day off anyways.
But it is nice to vent like this from time to time. I mean, I know our listeners are like, okay, we've heard this before. You know, nothing.
Well,
new,
forward it to your friends then.
What was that?
Then they can forward it to their friends that are, you know, on the treadmill an hour
a day. It's good to vent about it, but it's definitely nice to go back to places like that just to remind me of how lucky we are, and then just to be like, my God, like people are still just not getting it.
Well, I don't know.
And a lot of, you know, sometimes I want to blame, you know, the establishments themselves, like the trainers, like, you know.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Like Eric, you, me, Brian, like, you know, when you walk into our facility, you know that we've coached the shit out of those guys. And whether they're an athlete or not, we've coached the crap out of them for 2, 3, 4 weeks. So they get to the point where they're not quite as dependent on us. But everyone in there is going to do a picture-perfect squat. Their deadlift is going to look like shit. Their bench form is going to be good. You know, so, I mean, and I think that's kind of a good thing. You know, that's a great thing. You know, but then when I walk into these other establishments, you know, particularly commercial gyms, it's like you would think that the trainers would kind of, like, have some pride, you know, and say, okay, we're going to do it the right way. I mean, granted, not everyone there is going to be using a trainer, and they can't help that. But, you know, I've known some trainers that I met at like Perform Better or whatnot. The facility I worked at in Connecticut, every single one of the trainers, we were all kind of on the same page. You know, like this is how things are going to be done here, and like we would call each other out. I mean, it was great. It was everyone was like-minded. We ran ideas off each other, and it just surprises me that more gyms aren't doing that. But I understand that commercial gyms, there's going to be a lot of roll over with employees, and not everyone's going to be using a trainer. But still, you know, it still boggles my mind. Even when I do see people with a trainer, you know, it's still atrocious. You know, it's like, what are you doing?
Well, I think we'll wrap up this off topic since it's about 20 minutes, a little bit more than we normally do. But it was a good rant, and hopefully, but I'll probably have some stories once I get started at Boss of Sports, and hopefully it will be nothing but good stories of praise for the fantastic form of everyone in there. Everyone's doing, you know, perfect planks and bench pressing only twice a week and maybe 3 times if it's full body, but that's about it. All right. I think we'll wrap it up. Thanks for listening to the off-topic section.